Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
This morning, if you could open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 38 and 42. And again, the title of my message is called Distractions. Someone say distractions. How many know that it's easy to get distracted? Come on, somebody work with me. Amen. And we'll get more into that today. And today I want to speak to you something that the Lord really put in my heart. And I believe that if you grab a hold of the word this morning, that not only will you find focus, but you'll be able to address certain things within your own life that God wants to deal with. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and 42, the Bible says this: Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman, say certain woman, named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. This morning, I want to speak to you on the topic of priority and distractions. And how many know that it's easy to get sidetracked when you got to get something done, right? Who's ever tried to pray in the morning, and right when it's time to pray, you think of all the things you got to get done within your house, right? It's easy to get sidetracked. And how many know that especially during the holiday season, though it should be a time of joy, though it should be a time of hope, and it should be a time where we create memories and we appreciate our families, every now and then it could feel like anything but joy, but peace, and it could feel like a big struggle. Right? I have found that during the holiday season, there are two extremes. On one hand, you have people that they're joyous and they're filled with the festive spirit, right? Now, these people are pretty extreme. These people, they love the festivities. They love eggnog. They love hot cocoa, right? They love getting together. They love taking pictures, right? They love the lights, right? They love everything about Christmas, and they're always so happy. And I mean, when you're going through it, sometimes those are the people that you're mad at. So on one extreme, you got people like my brother Eric over here. He loves Christmas. And then the other extreme, so you have on one hand people that are all festive. They love the Christmas spirit. But on the other hand, you have people that instead of feeling joy, they are filled with sadness, anxiety, and even depression. And this could be for a number of different reasons, but nonetheless, these are realities that we deal with here on earth, right? And no matter where you're at this morning, I want to challenge your thought process to remain focused on the priority, right? You know, before a child is born, there is a lot of pain, right, before the blessing. This morning, I don't know what you're going through, but I dare to say that if you endure and you keep your eyes on the Lord, you will experience a blessing even in the midst of your struggle. And what I want to do is I want to address some mindsets. I want to address some thinking, because although things may be bad, in reality, they could be worse. Right? So this morning, we're going to look at a story in the Bible of two different women who had the opportunity to focus on the presence of God. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was traveling along the way, and he came to a certain village. And the Bible says a certain woman. And you know, anytime the Bible uses phrases like that, you got to take notice, right? Everything Jesus did was very intentionally, but he came to a certain village, and a certain woman invited him into her house. So here Jesus, he accepts this invitation and he enters into this woman's house. Now the Bible tells us that Mary, Martha's sister, she sat at the feet of Jesus while Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, if you've ever thrown a party, you have found that sometimes they're like preparing for a party or preparing for a large group of people to enter into your house can be hectic and a struggle, right? You got to get everything clean. You got to cook. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we start cleaning places we haven't cleaned in a while. We're like, man, that is dirty. What was I thinking? Right? You know how it is sometimes, right? You clean the surface when nobody's coming over, but when everyone's coming over, you start moving the couches, and you're like, how did that get there? Right? But every now and then that I have found that sometimes the process of preparation can take away from the priority. How many of our kids, you know, me and my wife, we have a one-year-old and we just celebrated, you know, Gianna just turned one on Friday, right? And and she's a miracle baby. This time last year, we were in struggle, right? There were just some things we were in struggle and question, but she's here, right? And I bring that up to say that we were up, I think, the night before setting up for her party till 2:30 in the morning, right? Anyways, but we were up and I was thinking, man, this is hectic. I'm over here setting up this party for this one-year-old that may never remember this, right? 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 And how many have ever fallen victim to that? Maybe you're setting up and you want to do all this stuff, right? But what's the priority? The baby. So what am I trying to say? Sometimes in your pursuit and in your process of preparation, you can miss your priorities. Martha had invited Jesus into her home. She was preparing for the Savior to enter into her house, but instead of focusing on his presence, she was distracted with serving. Now, when you look up this word distracted in the Greek, it's a word called preterpeseo, which means to be overoccupied, busy, or to be driven about mentally. Have you ever been overoccupied? Do you know that you could physically be here and you not present? I've been there where I've shown up to church, I'm physically there, but mentally I'm somewhere else. See, we're living in a time where you could be in a room full of 300 people and still feel all alone. You can engage into a conversation and 5 minutes later not even remember what in the world you just talked about. What was the problem? You were present, but you weren't present. This was the case with this woman. She was overoccupied. You know, when you're distracted, distraction means to be divided, diverted, or separated. It means to be overly occupied or physically pulled or dragged away. See, a distraction is a process where a person's attention is diverted from what was originally intended. See, some of you made the decision early this year, I'm going to follow the Lord. I am going to make some changes because not because I want to be somebody good, but I'm doing it because I love him and I want to please him. And sometimes we make these decisions, Lord, I want to follow you. But in the midst of our journey, how many know we can get distracted with the cares of this world? This is what happened to Martha. Similar to Martha, we can sometimes be so focused on our pursuits that we overlook our priority. Martha was not doing anything bad. Her heart's intention was in the right place. She wanted everything to be perfect for her Savior, but the problem, her serving took the place of her priority. Now, the priority in your life is anything you give attention to. Priorities aren't what we say they are. Priorities is what we give our attention to. Are you hearing me? So here, although Jesus was the priority, she wasn't giving attention to Jesus. She was giving attention to all these other things. And this holiday season, I want to challenge you to do something. Don't focus on the presence. Don't focus on the pressure. Don't focus on everything that the world tells you you need to do. What you need to focus on is the Lord. What you need to focus on is creating memories. What you need to focus on is on your children. What you need to focus on is your marriage. You need to make sure that you are constantly focused and engaging with the things that matter. Because some of the presents that we buy people will end up in a giveaway one day. Half of the presents that we give our children today may be in the lawn tomorrow. Are you hearing me? The priority isn't presence. The priority isn't everything we got to get done before 2019. No, for some of us, we should pause. And instead of thinking of what we need to do, we should pause and ask God, God, what do you want me to do? God, before I enter into 2019, are there some things within my life that you need to get rid of? Because the reality is God is doing a work in many of our lives, but sometimes we hit this brick wall and we're stuck and we're like, why am I not going forward? You know, church has become stale. I go and I feel like I'm not growing in that church anymore. My question to you is, have you allowed God to deal in the dark areas of your heart that not even the pastor knows about? Have you allowed God to deal with the secret sins or the things that we think about or the unforgiveness maybe of the person that hurt us 2 years ago? Are you hearing me? Oh, we got quiet. We're going to talk about some things. Let me move forward. What you have to understand about distraction is this. If the enemy cannot get you to backslide, if the enemy, see, many of you, you made a commitment. Like, I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, I committed, I am never going back to the man that I used to be. It's been 19 years, and I've slipped up sometimes. I maybe said some things. I maybe didn't forgive people or whatever. I've gone through some things, but I have never gone back to my old ways. And there are some of you, you're here this morning, and you've made the commitment, I'm never going back to who I used to be. You're still here. And what the enemy will do, don't clap yet, because what the enemy will do is this. He's like, okay, that one, they're committed. That one, they're not leaving. That one, they're like a staple. They're a part of the church. They're not going nowhere. They are the church. He's not going anywhere. She's not going anywhere. He says, okay, I'm not even going to tempt her. I'm not even going to tempt him. Just let me distract him from his purpose. Let me bring some things within their life that will take all their attention. And as a result, it is just as good as going backwards. Because if you're not moving forward and you're... See, some of us are on a spiritual treadmill and we're tired. I met with some people this year and they're like, Pastor, I'm tired. I'm physically... And I don't get this. Pastor, I got to take a break from church. We are the church. The church is not where you show up. The church is not the building. We can have church in the park. So when you tell me you're taking a break from church, what are you taking a break from? Because last I checked, church is the people. Some of us got to stop running from our problems with people, and we got to learn to deal with the process so that we can become who God wants us to be. And for some, you're not going to go to the next level until you learn to deal with people. Because we're living in a day and age, Pastor, I love God, but I hate people. Pastor, I love you, but I hate the people in the church. Some of you are fighting the wrong battle. Again, I want to challenge you. What is your focus? We're a growing church. We're a developing church. If you focus on what we don't have, you might lose out on the fact of what you do have. Are you hearing me? I've had people leave because maybe things didn't meet their expectations. And I'm like, man, you're going to leave because of that? What about focusing on what you do have? What about focusing on that you have pastors that love God, that live with conviction, that pray, and that are willing to stand by the word of God when everything else is turning? What about people that may not be perfect, but they're miracles and they're willing to go to war with you on your knees? They're willing to pray with you on Wednesdays. They're willing to counsel your family. They're willing to give towards your success. Oh, but sometimes we want to focus on, oh, that building, it's not that great. Well, we're just passing through anyways. Right? We're going to own our own building one day. But be careful that in your process and in your preparation, because listen, none of us have arrived. I talked about last week how the Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do is I press towards and I look ahead. I focus all my energies on that which is before me, forgetting what is behind me. This was the man who wrote 3/4 of the Bible basically saying he hasn't made it yet and that he's still hungry to grow. He wasn't satisfied with where he was at. And God, whatever you want for my life, I'm willing to give more. You know, people are afraid to talk about giving. Yeah, God wants everything. Right? God wants your whole heart. Are you hearing me? We got to let go of the distractions. I don't know about you, But I had some conversations this year with my wife, and I got to make some changes for 2019. You're not hearing me. Work with me this morning. One of the things the devil will do to hinder man in fulfilling the call upon their life is bring in various distractions in their life. Now, I'm going to talk about just some general distractions, okay? What are some general distractions? Media, money, hobbies, relationships, right? You know that most distractions are habit-based? And let me explain this. Did you know that you and I were built on emotional triggers? Let me explain. For instance, watching television is a huge distraction for a lot of people. Now watch this. When people get bored, they turn on the television. In this case, boredom is the emotional trigger, and the distraction is the television. Nowadays, people look at their phones more than they do the television. We get bored, and how many hours do we spend on our phones? According to U.S. statistics, they say that the average person checks their phone 150 times a day. The average American watches 37 to 40 hours of TV each week. Social media has become an extreme addiction and an escape from reality. Some of you have to get rid of that Facebook app because you're studying the wrong book. Instead of seeking Facebook, you should seek his face. What would happen? What would happen if we spent the amount of time we were scrolling on Facebook seeking the face of God? I don't know about you, but I kind of stopped looking at Facebook simply because when I look at Facebook, I get mad. Everyone posts their beautiful life. And I'm like, man, my life is far from that. Come on, somebody. Media has a way, right? Hobbies have a way of taking away from the things that should be the priority, right? You got to be careful that you don't allow some of these things to take away from the priority. These are just some general things, right? Let's go a little deeper. Can we go a little deeper? What are some other things that can distract us? What about pain? Some of us have been so emotionally wounded, we can't see healing if it was touching us because we're so focused on our pain. Some of us are so focused, listen to me, where some are so distracted from past relational hurts, we are unable to see the people God is trying to bring into our present world. And until we deal with the person that hurt us, the new people that are coming into our life are being robbed of their joy, and you're being robbed of your joy. There is no friendless Christianity. There is no such thing. You cannot do it. God never created it to be like. Some of us sometimes walk through hell and high water, and we nearly drown before we ask for help. God didn't call you to walk alone. Are you hearing me this morning? Pain. Some are distracted by old offenses, and we're making the people that love us now pay for what somebody else did. Are you hearing me? You know that I go through that as a pastor, right? Maybe another pastor hurt them. And then the first thing I do, right? Because at some point, if you tell me or my wife, ladies, the whole goal is discipleship. What's my goal? I ain't gonna lie to you. I want to make you a disciple of Christ and take you off your agenda and put you on the agenda of God. That's my purpose. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, right? The Bible says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded. That's what I'm trying to do. There is no secret. Pastor has a hidden agenda. I ain't got no hidden agenda. I want to take you off your focus and put you on the focus of God, because God has a better plan for your life. My wife has the same agenda. I forgot where I was going, but I'm... Oh, yeah. Agendas, right? Oh, what I was going to say was, sometimes people hold me in pastoral prison because of what somebody else did the first time I got to correct them. At some point, if you get close and you say, Pastor, disciple me, and I seen you put something on social media that looks crazy, and it's not a reflection of who God is, and if we're supposed to be witnesses of the Lord, I might pull you aside. See, don't block me or cancel my friend request. But some of you, I might have to be like, hey, listen, I noticed you put this meme up, and this meme had a bunch of cuss words. Why would you do that? Even the abbreviations. Why would you do that? See, some of you are like, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, think about it. If we're called to be witnesses of the Lord, why should we look like the world? But the first time we want to deal with areas of people's life. Now, if you know me, you know I'm not going to push my convictions on you. We're not going to force you into submission. But if you say, I want to grow and I want to live my life for the Lord, we're going to do our very best to pray for you and guide you and give you all that you need so that you can be successful in this life. But some of us are so distracted with past relational hurts, we cannot see what God is trying to do in our lives now. God wants to bring healing, but you first got to forgive. There are some we're so focused on past failures, we can't see the successes. Yes, you may have failed. Peter failed, right? We know the story. He fished all night, the Bible says. And then here Jesus came to him. He said, okay, he hops in the boat with Peter. Peter's all discouraged. Peter's all mad. And Jesus said, cast your net down here. He looks at Jesus and he says, no, why? I've been doing this all night. You know what the difference was? Jesus was in the boat now. See, some of you, you tried this before. And truth be told, maybe we didn't surrender fully. Well, I got good news for you. This time, Jesus is in the boat. And this is a word of encouragement for those of you that are struggling with confidence. Listen, God has called you. Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done what the Lord God has for you, you may receive your promise. So we talked about different things that can occupy our attention. You know, past hurts, pain, it can blind us from what God wants to do. But did you know that ministry can distract you from the purpose of God? See, there are some of you, you're serving in ministry now. And the truth is, as we go to this other church, we're going to be able to function a whole lot different. Having a 10 a.m. service, having a children's ministry, having a hospitality team, having a youth ministry. In a few days, Riley, myself, and Bruce, we're going to be getting on a plane, and we're going to go to the youth convention, and I'm taking them so that they can get vision, so that they see what we want to accomplish, and hopefully this year we'll start a youth ministry. But what am I saying? Ministry. Ministry can blind you and distract you from the priority. Let me explain. The Bible says Martha was distracted with much serving. You know what that word serving means? In the Greek, it's a word called diakonia, which means to serve and to minister. Martha was working hard and making preparations to minister unto her Lord. The problem was that she took her focus off why she was doing it in the first place, and when Jesus showed up, she paid him no attention. See, if you're not careful, some of you, you're going to start serving, and you know what's going to wear you out? People. Like I said, it's all interconnected. If you're going to be effective as a minister of God or a witness to God, you got to learn to get along with people. People will drain. You know that people could be nasty. Right? When they don't get their way. Are you hearing me? But what happens when someone says something about you that maybe they were in a wrong place? Do we hold them captive? Right? No, we forgive them when we love them. I'm not saying you become a victim or you become codependent. You let people hurt you. No, no, no. At some point, you got to draw a line. Hey, listen, that's why we have boundaries in relationships, right? We're going in today. I'm going to have to break this message up. But listen to what Martha said. Martha was working hard to prepare and minister to her Lord. But watch this. In her serving, she got frustrated. Now, this is what I wanted to say. When you're frustrated, you got to learn not to act on your emotions. I have found so many people in their frustration, they disrespect the people that are trying to help them. That's what Martha did. I want you to think about this for a sec. I want you to picture her tone. I want you to picture her in the kitchen making food. And here Jesus is with Mary, and they're laughing, and she's over here she's frustrated. Some of us, we're like passive aggressive, right? We're not going to say nothing. And finally, and she sounds passive aggressive, because here she was preparing the house. Finally, she comes up to the Lord, and listen to what she says. Lord, Don't you care that my sister left me to do the work by myself? I don't think she said, Jesus, don't you care that my sister is sitting? No. I don't know about you, but I'd be hot. Those of you that got siblings, hey, how come I'm doing everything? You help me too. So here she is. Now watch this. Here she sounds frustrated and unfulfilled. Her comments even sound judgmental and show animosity towards her sister. And this is what's worse. In her frustration, she even showed disrespect to the Messiah. Think about that for a second. God, don't you care? Of course he cares. Sometimes we pray like that. God, don't you care? I've been enduring down here. Yeah, and if he could talk back, he'd probably tell you, yes, look at my back. When I was on there and my spirit was leaving me, I was thinking about you. What am I trying to say? We've been talking about spiritual maturity. Some of us have to start learning to honor our leaders and the people of spiritual authority within our lives. You can call it for what it is, but you look at God works in order. God calls people to be shepherds. God calls people to lead and guide. Some of you, you got to be careful because right now, let's say you're rude. Let's say you don't know how to handle it. And let's say you lash out. The day's going to happen when God raises you up. And then now you're the leader. And our church one day is going to be 500 people. And now you're the youth leader. Now you're the leader over children's ministry. But because you sowed bad seed, because you got disrespectful early when you first got in, you're going to have some people that say no, and what? Somebody say you reap what you sow, right? I feel like I got knuckleheads because I was a knucklehead. Come on, somebody. What am I saying? In your frustration, be careful that you don't lose respect for your father. Be careful that in your frustration, you don't lose sight of the fact of what caused you to get involved to begin with. It was all and always will be about people. Are you hearing me? I can't tell you how many times we've had to deal with this. And those of you that have been in ministry for a while, people sometimes will leave the church and in their frustration say some nasty things. And at the end of the day, all we wanted to do was help people. All some of you, you've experienced that. You've given your all. But listen, I would say to those of you that have been wronged, don't lose compassion because somebody was ungrateful. You go to the feet of the Lord. You ask him to deal with your heart so you can continue to pour out your life for others. And just maybe we can help change a life for eternity. So listen to what Jesus says to her, and I'll be coming to a close. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but the one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part. See, the Bible says you are worried and troubled about many things. This morning, as I was praying for many of you within the church, the Lord was showing me a plague within our church. Because I've been here for 4 years, and I have found that there is a specific, like, stronghold that comes upon our church. And it's been in cycles. I've been here 4 years. I can tell the cycle now. And the cycle is that people get involved. They start doing the work of the Lord. And you know what they fall victim to? Life's worries. And the Lord told me to reveal this to some of you. Mark 4:19 says, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. See, the worries of life will come in to distract you. The deceit of wealth will try to entice you, and the desires for something greater will choke out the work that God is doing in your life right now. And if you give in to those things, according to this scripture, it says these things, once they take you captive, will make you unfruitful. This is why you can come to church for years and never really advance, because maybe there are areas within our life that we've allowed the cares of the world to bring us down. Some of us are so bogged down by worry that we've become unfruitful. But listen to what Jesus said. You are worried about and troubled about many things. The Bible tells us that Mary, on the other hand, here you had Martha was serving and distracted, but Mary, the Bible says she sat at the Lord's feet and acknowledged his presence. Mary sitting at Jesus' feet was not a description of her location. Listen to this, please. Mary sitting at Jesus' feet was not a description of her location. It was a description of the posture of her heart. Because in the Bible, when people sat at the feet of their master or their teacher, what it showed was a learned spirit or a spirit of willingness. It was what disciples did onto their disciplers so that they can grow and glean from the things that they had been taught so that they can be changed. This was the posture of Mary's heart. She was focused not on the preparation because she had realized the master has arrived. See, what I love about Mary is this: no matter what was going on around her, no matter what she was doing, no matter the need that needed to be done, Mary was sensitive to the presence of God. She was ready. She recognized him. She recognized the work that he wanted to do within her life, and she humbled herself and sat at his feet. This morning, for some of you, if you are going to advance in 2019, it's time to remove all the distractions. It's time to take on the posture of a disciple and sit at the feet of Jesus. Proverbs 4:25-26 says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left." Some of us got to put some blinders on. Come on, somebody. So how do we become undistracted? I'm going to give you a few things quickly. I'm not going to expound on them. I'll expound on them different. Number one, you got to unplug. Some of us just got to unplug. We got to unplug our phones. We got to unplug the TV. We got to unplug everything. Secondly, you got to slow down. Slow down. Focus on what's important. Because the enemy will do everything in his power to show you faults and show you things that aren't there. But what about what is there? Number three, some of you may have to sacrifice certain activities for a season. Are you hearing me? God doesn't want you to not do or have any fun, but maybe for a season. I might have to give this up because he requires my attention. Think about it for a second. If Jesus was physically here on earth and you knew he was going to be here, but someone offered you Seahawk tickets, which would you choose? Obviously, you'd come to see Jesus. You would sacrifice not going to the game to be with the Lord. Some of us got to capture that concept spiritually. Sometimes you might have to pause from something that you enjoy and that brings you alleviation because God wants to teach you, listen, your peace is not going to come from an activity that's going to distract you from reality. The peace that I want to give you is not going to be found in the absence of problems, but it's going to be found in my presence. This morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to stand with me.